Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you. You are such a God that worthy of our thanks. And we love you, and we look up to you, and grant us your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I believe you all know that today is Thanksgiving. So probably I don't need to remind you. In case you don't know, just look up. And you know this is Thanksgiving display. And so everybody is reminding you this is Thanksgiving. And I'm just wondering, now in the scripture it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18, it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Especially in verse 16, in 18, give thanks in all circumstances. So what does it mean by giving thanks? In all circumstances, should we give thanks? Should we give thanks? I just noticed some of you are wearing black T-shirts. Okay, should you give thanks because you are not in Hong Kong? Because anybody who is young and wearing black T-shirt in Hong Kong are subjected to danger. Okay. So is it what we want to be thankful about? Now, I have a friend. He came from a Christian family. His parents gave him a name. The name is Grateful. So his name is Grateful. So all Chinese, his last name is Wong. So let's call him Grateful Wong. Sometimes I just can't stop thinking about one thing. What has in mind of Grateful Wong's parent when they gave him this name? Are they grateful because he was born, or they want grateful to be reminded that he should be grateful in whatever circumstances he is in? And I look at Grateful, and it looks like he always have a long face, and he is not very happy. So maybe, I don't know why. No. But his name is Grateful. So he's a pretty good Christian. And so I don't know what does he mean by his name. Okay. So what is giving thanks and what is grateful? Now, shall we pause for a question before we proceed with the sermon? Now, what if I ask you, what is the theme of today's scripture? What will you say? What is the theme of today's scripture? I trust that this is a very familiar scriptural passage. So what is the theme of the passage? This is not a trick question. Okay? And probably you won't be wrong, okay? Very likely you are right, okay? Oh, what is the theme of the passage? Give thanks to God. Thankfulness, okay? And what else? Is there any other idea? Huh? What idea? Divine healing, okay. It couldn't be wrong. It really talks about divine healing. And is, as a matter of fact, this is a passage that is chosen in the lectionary for Thanksgiving. So it's a classical and traditional passage for Thanksgiving. So you can be wrong. Now, but if we look at the passage and pay attention to one more detail, in the conclusion, can you show me verse 19? I'm sorry, because last night I was keep on correcting my own PowerPoint, and at the end, I forgot to take the flash drive after the last correction. Okay, what did it say? Rise and go, and then what? Stand up and go, your faith have made you well. And actually, the translation could be the faith, your faith have saved you. Okay? Because the Greek word can easily be translated to save you. Your faith has saved you. As a matter of fact, many scholars would translate by themselves to your faith has saved you. This is the conclusion. Jesus did not only acknowledge the Samaritan for giving thanks, Jesus appreciated and lauded the Samaritan's faith. So the context is about thanksgiving, but Jesus seems to steer us towards another direction. Jesus was neither circumventing the question nor giving the wrong answer. He was trying to paint a bigger picture, explain a deeper truth, and let it be laid out in front of us. Let's read very carefully the word. Oh. Now, the passage clearly gives us a multidimensional view of the time and place. And can we look at verses 11 to 13? Now, first, Luke talk about geography. The place is a village between Samaria and Galilee. It seems Jesus was not exactly in the middle of the village. This is only a small village away from major city. And it is also an ideal place for lepers to colonize. Because lepers were supposed to be isolated according to Jewish law, so that the leprosy will not be transmitted. Whenever they see anyone on the road, they are supposed to identify themselves and cry out a warning in the distance. This is the picture. Luke painted for the story. Imagine the hardship of a leper's life. They have to leave their home city, and stay with other lepers because the leper's colony was the only place for them. The only place a leper can go is a leper colony. Because only lepers would accept leper. They long to be healed, but they may enter into the society once again. When you are a leper, you are considered unclean. So whatever you touch become unclean. So if you become a farmer, the farming produce will become unclean, unsaleable. If he wants to do work on some small things or some tools to sell, the tools they make will be unclean, and it is not suitable to sell. If they cannot serve people because whatever thing they touch will become unclean, you don't want an unclean person to come to your house and touch everything, then your house is not usable. So they are really outcast of the society. They can only return to their loved one if they are certified by the priest of their home city. They can become whole again if they are certified again. Now they have to leave their parents, their children, and all their wealth. By their plea, Jesus knew that they long to go home. So Jesus' answer is direct and unambiguous. Just one sentence. Go and show yourself to the priest. This 14. Go show yourself to the priest. That's it. Jesus did not say anything more. It's very direct. So far, the passage is very straightforward, and we imagine, and no imagination is required. However, the following verses are not the same. The passage says, When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And then verse 15, and as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Now we can see there are four movements here. The first movement is, and they, as they went, they were clean. Simply said, as they were on the way to each and everyone's own priest to be examined, they found themselves already cleansed. The pronoun is a plural pronoun here. It means all 10 of them found the same truth. All of them found out that, hey, I am clean. I look at myself and look into to myself and say, gee, I am clean. I'm clean again. And this is the first movement. The second movement is, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. The 9 have other ideas because they believe something is very important to fulfill the law. They have to finish the task first. This is the only way they know to return to their normal life. Go back to your priest and be certified. This is the only thing they know. So they go straight to the priest. They don't trust what they have seen. They can only trust what they can do. Because what they can do is go to the priest. But when they look at themselves, they are not so sure. We got to understand these lepers were not accepted by anyone but themselves. And the only way they can be accepted by other people is to be clean and to be certified by the priest. Irregardless of their social status, wealth, and nationality, they stay together. This is the reason why there are both Jews and Samaritans among them. Now they have to look for a priest to examine them and certify them and declare them cleansed. They would have to go back to their own city for the purpose. Now they are busy to go home for examination. But one of the 10 turned back. He looked at himself and saw that he was healed, and he believed. He did not wait for the priest to tell him, you are cleansed. He believed right away. He did not need the confirmation of the priest. Of course, he could have followed the crowd, but he has very different idea. For he knows one thing. After he had been examined by the priest, Jesus would no longer be waiting for him. He would have to travel back to a certain city in Samaria. It could be a couple hours, it could be a couple days, it could be a couple weeks or a couple months. By the time the priest has finished the examination and declare him cleansed, Jesus may not be at the same place. The other 9 did not care. They just followed their own way. But the Samaritan was very sure, so he turned back. The third movement is praising God with a loud voice. That's what happened when the mic somehow. but anyway, I do believe even without a microphone, our two sisters will do it very well. With a loud voice. The Samaritan has 2 considerations. The first is the faith to trust Jesus' healing. As he looked, he believed he is already healed. That's why he did not have to wait for the priest to give him the certification. He knew it. This is The first is the faith to trust Jesus' healing. Examination by the priest is but a ritual to go through. It is just a task to finish, nothing more and nothing less. Praising God is more important than going through his personal rituals. He come back to God first because he believed God has already healed him. The fourth movement is to give thanks to the Jesus right in front of his eyes. This is the reason why he turned back. Praise God, thank Jesus. There's nothing more to be done that he is healed. The rest of the passage is the response of Jesus. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? That's verse 17. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." There Jesus asked 3 questions consecutively. And actually, they are not real questions. They are just rhetoric questions. You and I know the answer already. The only reason why Jesus asked is to let it sink in. Let the question and answer sink in. All the questions are to lead us back to the crux of the problem. We do not deal with the first 2 questions here. The 3rd question is the theme of the whole passage. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus wanted to highlight, give praise to God. The Samaritan turned back and do the one most important thing, give praise to God. The Samaritan knew full well he was healed not by going a long way home, not by seeing a priest, not by the declaration of the priest, not by following the law's requirement. All of them are not the reason he was healed. The only reason he was healed because he asked for God, have pity on us. Have pity on us. And this is faith. You see, when Jesus talked, he just highlighted, give praise to God. He did not say anything about giving thanks to himself. For what is the really important point is, this Samaritan come back, turn back, return. The first thing he did, give praise to God in a loud voice when he was excited. Because he truly believed, I am you. I am you. How can I hold up myself? I have to shout with joy. For the Samaritan truly believed God has healed him, unlike the other 9 who believed in the process of the law, the doings required by the law. The other 9 has their body cleansed. Of course, ultimately, the priest will declare them all cleansed. So their body will be cleansed. But the Samaritan has his life saved. Were those 9 thankful? The Bible did not mention it. We don't know. It is very likely, for they are ordinary people like us, and they are not some evil people, but we know one thing that the Bible has recorded. They did not care about what Jesus cared about. They considered going to the priest their priority. They considered one most important thing is to go to the priest so that the priest can examine. This is the first and foremost and the most important things in their mind. to fulfill the law's requirement. But they have forgotten the one who truly healed them. They trust in what they know how to do, but they did not trust the one who can save. The Samaritan put away the demand of the law because he knew there is something, someone more important, the God who saved him. God should be praised, and Jesus should be thanked first. He did not need the priest to know that. He did not have to go through all the tasks to do that. And this is faith. We can also easily fall into the same trap as the nine. A lot of time we believe it is very important to fulfill the requirement because all the requirements are something we can control. Okay, go to see the priest. I can walk over and go to see the priest. But if I tell you, have faith, what is it? Have faith. What is it? Have faith in God. We cannot control God. Oh, God, give me peace. Okay? We pray. God, give me peace. Can you guarantee you have peace? Who can guarantee that? Only through faith we can come to God and say, Lord, give me peace, and I believe. If I have completed a certain task and upon the responsibility, I can measure it very well, for it is totally under my control. In my 40 years of Christian life, I found one thing. The most difficult dogma we can hold on to is the most basic dogma, justification by faith. We come into the door, justification by faith. But once we enter the door of Christianity, we work very hard to make sure I am saved. So a lot of people would talk about, okay, if when you have become a Christian, do your devotion, okay? Or if you don't do your devotion, woe to you. Read your Bible regularly. Okay? Start serving in the church. Now, they are all right. They are all correct things to do. But with or without that, God still loves us. The important thing is not, let me do this and God will love me. It's, God loves me no matter what. Because of his love, I'll do them all. The only reason I want to do my devotion because I want to stay close with God. The only reason why I want to read the Bible regularly because I want to know what he wants me to know. In life, there are many things that can be controlled. Even devotion and reading the Bible regularly can be controlled, right? I'm sure you can control it. Now, make sure you wake up and pray and read the Bible for 5 minutes, for 1 week. I bet you can do it, for sure. This is something you can control. I used to have a very good friend. He's not an early riser, and so he seldom do his devotion in the morning. But he wanted to be a good Christian, and he was a kind of a cook in a highway restaurant. So the restaurant he works is on the highway. So as a student, he worked the night shift. That is 11 to 7. So you have 7-11 and he has 11 to 7. So when he is he's the cook of the restaurant because it's always in the middle of the night. There are not too many patrons or customers. So he can always schedule his time because the only time he is busy is when a bus pulls in. So he knows exactly the time schedule when the bus will pull in. So he will schedule his time, okay, I'll read my Bible. And in 2 days, he finished 1st and 2nd Corinthians easily. And actually, he finished the Bible in 2 months. This is something he can control. But faith is not something we can control. We can only have it, or you don't have it. God is someone beyond control. Only when we acknowledge God's word, it becomes faith. In the church, it says, if I can do it with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my might, I will be healed and I will be saved. It's not true. Only when we have faith in God. What Jesus really wants us to do is to know that what we do and what we said is for what? And this Samaritan has it very clearly. It's not the law. It's God himself. Eventually, he still has to go to the priest and to be examined. But he knows his healing does not come from the priest. So the priest can wait. And all the tasks, all the process can slow down. And our service can step back. The first and foremost and the most important thing is to come to God first, to give praise to God. And this is faith. We just trust in God. When we give thanks, because we have faith in God, and he has done all the necessary thing for us and more. And that's why we give thanks. It's not because certain things has happened in our lives. Give thanks in all circumstances. It's not what has happened to you this morning. Oh, I thank God because this morning I win the lotto. No. I give thanks because I know God is going to do great things for you and for me. And this is faith. Let's pray. God, I thank you because you are the Lord who gives faith. As you tell us, have faith is because you have already put a seed in our heart. And we can always respond to you in faith. Though our faith is small, but our God is big. Thank you in Jesus' name.